What do you see? Anybody? Pardon? Ballet shoes, yeah, excellent. Anything more? Anybody want to be a little bit more specific? Pardon? First position, excellent. And that is the main ballet position that most of the steps you practice and evolve from ballet. And it's where you return to. Do you want a demonstration? It's something like... How's that? Who are the experts? Oh, I can't go anymore. Beth, I should ask Beth to come and demonstrate. So in some ways, as we've been going through this series on the Holy Spirit and how he is with us and leads us, I'm hoping that there hasn't been a sense of going over old stuff, but even if we feel that we've been relearning stuff, it's been important because it brings us back. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. So kind of first position, a position that we return to where we keep going back to what we know about God, that unfolding revelation. So even when we feel, and let's be real, I'm going to be sharing something more of testimony as much as talk, but even when we feel that we can't see him or sense him, he hasn't moved. He's still there. And sometimes it's just a question of readdressing our position and going back to our first position so we see him for who he is. And all that he is, and all that he becomes, does that make sense? Okay, so that with that in mind, I just want to go through one or two pointers in terms of who God is, how we see him, how I've seen him. So it's going to be very personal in some respects, but hopefully it's going to touch you where you're at, where you might be, where you have been, and eventually going to come to a place where we're going to have a time of prayer. Vicky was praying in the prayer room. It's going to be a time perhaps where it's going to be a vulnerable time, but this is a safe place. We're with people that we love and that we trust. And if you want to engage in prayer, this is a good day to do it. Amen. This is a good day to connect with God. I mean, every day is a good day, but there's something about just having that space and that, you know, you might have come with a heavy heart, something that you just really need to feel a touch from God. And this could be your day, you know. Amen. Next slide, thank you, Emma. Oh, this is going to test some of the older members of the congregation. anybody else? Does anybody know? So who under 25 knows what that is? Excellent. Emily? Pardon? Yeah, it's a kaleidoscope. Now, back in the day, this was seen as a stocking filler. So when you were waiting to get your Action Man present or something bigger, this was the thing that gave me the most fun. Hours of fun, just peering through this thing, looking at any area of light and seeing these ever-changing shapes as you mess around with it. And really, I wanted to start with that word kaleidoscope and then introduce another word. So if you have the next slide, please, Emma. Who can read that? Kaleidoscope. I was fascinated to get a sense of what that means. Kaleidoscope didn't mean anything as I understood it. And generally, this is an accepted set of meanings for the word kaleidoscope. A complicated set of circumstances, a series of changing phases or events, or a continually shifting scene. And I just wanted to use kaleidoscope, perhaps, as a metaphor for life. Because, you know, sometimes we all go through complicated circumstances, changing phases or events as we go from one stage of our life to another. And then this ever-changing scene, you know. And I hope you'll see that rooted in all that is, although all that may be going on, God doesn't change or move. I want to keep underscoring that. And the second word, parallax, it is a word that was introduced to me many years ago, in fact in 1989, I was speaking to Andrew, and it was introduced in a kind of theological context. I was at Bible college once for a year, and this word parallax, it means the apparent change in the position of an object caused by a change in the observational position that provides a new line of sight. I don't really understand how that works, but we can have the next slide. So what I want you to do, if you feel comfortable, but we know it's all about the audience participation in the journey, I want you to hold your big finger up and position it roughly where the heart is. Now, Darren, you might not get so much out of this one, unfortunately. So bear with us. I want you to close your left eye and then alternate between closing your left and your right. What happens? Nothing. Did anyone say nothing? Yeah, your finger seems like it's moving from the centre of the heart to the right. And that simply is sometimes how we feel about God. You know, we think that in some ways he's moved, when in reality, if you look at the heart in the centre of that picture, it never moves. Never moves at all. And as I said, this talk really is going to be a little bit more about testimony than theology. Is there such a word as theostimony? A kind of combination of the two words. You can pen that. You know, if that becomes popular, please remember where you heard it first. But the things I've experienced about God the Father, and I've got to say, through the immeasurable comfort of Holy Spirit, him being with me and speaking to me and drawn alongside and comforting me in ways that are just indescribable, really. There's certain truths that I have to keep coming back to. Keep coming back to the same position is God never changes. He never moves. Those two verses in James particularly, where it talks about there's no shadow of turning with God. It's completely that. You know, there's no shadow, so there's no perceptible way in which you can see God move or change in his character or his promises for you. And those, even Pete referred to it, that he promised me in his word, and he promises us that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. There's something powerful in that. And when I've been going through some stuff over the last couple of years, particularly around health issues, and it's caused me serious stress and anxiety, and I have to keep coming back to that realignment. Now, the thing about having friends and family in a church context like this is that when I can't physically or I'm able to realign myself, it's people come with prayer. And they just kind of, I'm not going to do the first position again, I'm going to move. And they just gently realign me. And every now and again, you know, the stress comes, the anxiety about what I'm going through, and people come alongside. And God does that through his Holy Spirit. Does anybody get what I'm talking about there? That gentle realignment of God saying, you know, I get this. I get that this is tough for you. I understand that this is hard, but I'm gently going to realign you so that while you go through this, the only thing that you can concentrate is me and my promises and the fact that I've got this. As Andrew said, that people disagree on this, but for me personally, I feel that I always have a sense that God's in control. Everything else, and even as Andy sung about those words about bringing chaos and order back into balance, there's something in there that I understand, and even though I can't fully comprehend it, that God ultimately is still in control. When I was a younger Christian, it was many years ago, they had the first National Prayer Day at the NEC, and that was the first time I wasn't personally introduced to Godfrey Birtle, but it was the first time I'd heard of him. And he sang this song that moved me to tears, and before he sang it, he told the story behind the song, and I can't remember what it was, but it was this powerful story of this family that were going through some personal catastrophe or tragedy. And when Godfrey spoke to this person, in light of what he was going through, he said, what have you learned? He said, he's still God. And that was his song. So as he told that story, so even if I don't say anything else today, I want you to hear that no matter where you are, what you're going through, how difficult it has been, how difficult it currently is, he's still God. Amen? He's still God. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Malachi 3:16, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no fickleness, neither shadow of turning. And I've got a reference, Double Dragon 3. God is no Esmeralda. And those that have seen Double Dragon 3 will get that. He's not fickle. One minute, I love you. I don't love you. I love you. I don't love you. God loves us with an everlasting love. So just going on briefly over the next few minutes, using the themes of the kaleidoscope for our life, the parallax of just learning that if we need to realign ourselves, learning how we need to do that, or what we need to do to realign and reposition ourselves. Because these things that I've talked about, these circumstances, phases, events, you know, if we're not careful, they fill us with fear, they cause us to be anxious, they rob us of our hope, they rob us of our peace, and they rob us of our joy. But if we can learn to see God today and realign ourselves, we can have all those things restored to us. And what we'll do at the end of the next bit, not yet, thanks, Amy. What we'll do is, as I go through just a brief synopsis of four things, four names of God from the Old Testament, things that were familiar to people in the Old Testament, that they knew when they heard that name ascribed to God, it had a huge significance and meaning to them. We'll pause at the end of it just for a brief time, just to meditate on what that means to you or to me personally. Because I want to gather up all those thoughts and those ponderings and meditation to helpfully guide us to a place where we can have a real tangible time of God's presence in our prayer. Amen. So thank you, Emma, the first one. There we go. Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who provides. And that, just simply, in that synopsis, this is what we long for when we have a need that is personal and special. The Lord who provides, who will see to our needs. And I need to say this because as we've moved away from that original meaning, the Lord provides, but he provided in the most spectacular way. If you look in Genesis 22, when the sacrifice or the potential sacrifice of Isaac, Abraham's son, and he was so obedient, and he got to the point where his son was on the place of sacrifice. And then the Lord says, don't worry, I'll provide a lamb. It won't be your son. I'll provide something in place of your son, this person who's so special to you. And it just kind of foreshadows what God does with Jesus. Not only did he provide a lamb for Isaac and for Abraham, he provided the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And I need to say that because without the lamb, you know, all of the other provisions that God does for us don't really mean too much. It's that provision of Jesus that means the most. So the provision I'm talking about are those more practical day-to-day provisions, the things that we need or the things that we feel that we need to move on in life. I'll share a quick testimony. Some time ago, who's been on a big year here? Yeah, who's been in a? And I'm going to use a financial testimony, and this isn't just about money, but I just wanted to share it. So, who's been in a place where you think, you know what, I really need some finances to come my way, and Lord, I'm asking you in some way to help me. And I was in a position where I had the opportunity to go and do some mission work in New York, and it was about £1,200 in all. Didn't have a penny. We just moved to Chertsey. I'd left Royal Mail to work at Royal Holloway, so we'd lost quite a bit of money in doing that. So there was no way that I could afford that. About 5 or 6 weeks before I'd even talked to anybody about the trip to New York, Dave Food, who was the leader of the church I was in, he said, John, the Lord's just shown me that he wants me to give you something. So he placed a $10 bill in my hand. He said, I just believe this is a deposit for something. So that's weeks before I even started. So in that, I just felt, you know, God's in this. And however he's going to do it, he will provide. So we were living in our house, and out of the blue, and we got a letter from Runnymede Borough Council who said that they'd readjusted or recalculated the council tax, poll tax on our house, and found that we'd overpaid. So they sent us a cheque for £1,200. So it just completely took care of the whole trip in one, out of nowhere, completely unanticipated. Perhaps today, is the day where you receive some new promises, or perhaps as an encouragement, as some older promises that you're waiting to see come to pass. You just hold on to them. You say, you know, I'm not letting go of this. I know that God is going to see this happen. So the Lord who provides. Thanks, Emma, if we can have the next one. Oh, that's right, we're going to pause, weren't we? So what does it mean to us, this Lord who provides? How would that look to me or you today? Let's just pause for a moment. What do I need from God today as a provision? Thank you, Emma. So the next name. And the reason I've chosen these four names in particular is because they've spoken to me so much. They've meant so much to me personally in this journey over the last couple of years. Yahweh Rapha, meaning I am the Lord who heals. Particularly bringing healing to our lives to make us whole. Not just physical healing, but emotional healing, spiritual healing. Something about God bringing us to a place of wholeness, into completeness. And it must speak to some area of need today, yeah? You know, is anybody here completely and perfectly whole? So it speaks to an area of need, doesn't it? And this is a rich word, so it means, this name of God means to mend, to repair, to cure, to restore, to refresh, to make whole. Yeah. And that was where I got to this position where this led me to this place of testimony. So round about the middle of this year, I just felt unwell. So I thought I'd go to the doctor and through a series of discussion with him. So I want to take a couple of tests from you. So we've done one, he took some blood. And then he just said, you know what, you're getting to a certain age. So I want to test for something called PSA, which is a kind of protein that's found in prostate cancer. He says, you're at a certain age now, so let's do that test. It wasn't a very pleasant test. It was quite invasive. Don't need to say any more. So he'd done that, sent it off. And I got a phone call from the doctor. And when you get a phone call from the doctor, if there's nothing to worry about, they don't usually, and they just say, oh, we've been told that your PSA is slightly raised. Now, being the kind of person that I am, as soon as the doctor said, I want to test you for that, what did I foolishly do? Went to the internet. Let's Google, you know. Worst thing you could do, isn't it? So all of a sudden, all these fears and anxieties start to build up in me. I misaligned myself. I'll be honest about that. Completely misaligned myself. And then when they said that your PSA slightly raised, we need to send you to the hospital for some further tests. So I went to the hospital and I got there. And the doctor said, so do you know why you're here today, Mr. Brand? I said, oh, my PSA is slightly raised. Now, having raised PSA means that it's potential. Very improbable. Slightly raised is it's getting more on the possible and the probable. So I sat down thinking, well, I'm still in a slightly raised. So, I got a call from the doctor saying that my PSA was slightly raised. He said, it's not slightly raised. He said, you are in the highest category. So instead of being round about the 4, my reading was 54. So then I'm into the territory of it's not possible, it's probable. So now I'm not even aligned anymore. You know, I'm so, and all these things going around and about my head. Now, I'll be brief about this, but nearly all of my life, there's been some situations and circumstances, some hurts, and Vicky had been encouraging me over time to go to something called a Father's Heart Weekend, which is a weekend where you go and encounter God's Father Heart for a whole weekend. And I'd plucked up the courage to finally do that the week before all of this started to kick off. So the week I thought, this weekend I'm going to get everything sorted. On the Friday was when I got this kind of bad news and I was setting off for this important weekend. So I show up at this weekend, and I think I shared this briefly a little while ago. And one of the key scriptures in my life for a long time is that the Lord will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. And I've never shared that with anybody. And what they do is they pair you up with a mentor or somebody that's going to be your companion over the weekend and guide you through an encounter with God and just pray for you. He said, John, he said, I really just want to say at the beginning, God's given me a scripture. It might mean anything. It might mean something. He said, the Lord will restore to you the years, the locusts. So straight off, God speaks to me. Then at the end of the weekend, so I'm still going through all this turmoil and slightly feeling more positioned back towards God, still going through all this turmoil. I'm being honest. You know, it was a significantly stressful time. And then at the end of it, another lady came up. She started talking and she asked me one or two questions about myself. And then she said, you know what? She said, the Lord wants to say to you, watch this space. You know, there's going to be some amazing things happening with you and God over the next years. And I'll be honest with you, with what I'd received or heard from the medical experts, I'm thinking, is it years? How is this possible? You know, with the potential diagnosis of prostate cancer. So that was all going through. Vicky and Tom prayed for me. And one of the first things Vicky said was that she didn't feel that she felt that the Lord was going to heal me, that it was all going to be all right. So again, you know, I'm just getting the feeling I'm slightly repositioning myself. Denise, who's a rock through all this, she's more or less, yeah, it's done, God's dealt with it, don't worry about it, you know. But me, I'm still me. You know, you can hear all, I'm being honest, you can hear all these other people saying these great things about, don't worry, God's got it, you'll be all right. But it's still me. I'm still the one that's kind of walking through it. And eventually get to the point where I have to go for a biopsy, which is where they take 16 samples with these little needles and then go and send them off. And even as I was doing that biopsy, the doctor was lovely, really nice doctor, an older man. But he was preparing me for the worst. He kept talking and preparing me for the worst to expect nothing more than bad news. So on the one hand, I've got God, my provider. God loves me. He cares for me. He's got it. He's got it all under control. And in this position, it's, yeah, Mr. Brannan, you know? So the two different... So I'm like... So I'm a little bit in no man's land. So I'm not quite fully turned to where I should be entirely where God is. But I can say with all sincerity, I had a peace. There was a peace that came. You know, that peace from the Holy Spirit, it just kept flowing through. So when it came to the day of getting the results, has anybody ever been through something like this before? Getting the medical results, going to the doctor. It was the longest week building up to the Friday. And Denise and I went in the car and it was just, we got there and I thought, even the waiting time, I think, how long am I going to have to wait? We get in, we sit down. I literally just sat down on a seat and somebody said, oh, Mr. Brannan, we'll see you now. And it was the senior practitioner. She sat down and said, well, good news is you're absolutely clear. There is no... And in all that, it was amazing. In all that time, God had it covered. You know, and I went through the mill because I know people that I love and care about. My own dad passed away from cancer. There are people I know in River Church who are still living with cancer. And I had to fight all of those feelings of why me. But God had it covered. And he said from the beginning, he'd made promises. So if that means anything to you today, you know, God has got it covered. And that, if we just meditate on that, I am the Lord who heals. And that was that's more of a dramatic expression of how God heals. It could be any area of your life today where you just feel, God, you know, I want to touch. I want to be made just that bit more whole in you today. Let's just pause on that a second. And finally, the last name. Can we go one more? Sorry, Emma, we'll go to the final one. Yeah. Out of all of the names, this is the one that really spoke to me. El Roi, the Lord who sees. And it's all around this story in Genesis of Hagar, who was kind of cast out. She was the kind of third wheel in this relationship between Abraham and Sarah. So couldn't have two wives on the go, so one had to go. So she was completely cast out. Off you go, you know. removed out of the picture. And this is the only place in the Bible that this name is found. And for me, thinking of Hagar alone and desperate in her quiet misery, in that place of being cut off so dramatically and removed from every comfort or every friendship or every sense of belonging and identity, she'd been cut off. And in reality, you know, just quickly going back to my story about that thought of the prostate cancer, my biggest fear was that I was going to have a new identity that I didn't want. And I've got to be honest, you know, sometimes if you're the person who's suffering from, that becomes your identity. And it's really hard when we're with people that we know that are suffering from serious illness or there's something going on, not to see them differently. When they're not really different, it's just that they've got something going on in them that they can't control or contain. So for me, it taught me to be that little bit more understanding and say, yeah, that's not their identity. This is still the person I know, in spite of what they have or are going through at the moment. And for me, about this name, it implies much more than a God who's all-seeing and all-knowing, because Hagar said, you are the God who sees. And a lot of translations leave it at that. But the full translation, you are the God who sees me. That's powerful, isn't it? He's not just a God that sees. A God that looks down today, however we perceive God looking on us. He's not just a God that sees and knows everything. He's a God right now who's looking at you and me, and he sees you and he sees me and he sees us. How powerful is that? That's got to mean so much more. The God who sees me. And that implies that we are of immense value and worth to him as individuals. We're not just there used to be, I think we had one, an ant hill. We bought a load of ants and the kids had one and all these ants run around. And you kind of felt, I'm a bit sad now, a little bit like God. You're looking down on this little universe of ants. And sometimes that's how we see God, isn't it? That God's looking down as this hurrying, scurrying and activity. And a bit like Richard with his bees, you know, looking at the bees and they're all. But that isn't how God sees us. And it's the same way with Richard, you know. It's the same way with farmers. You know, their cattle aren't just cattle. If you speak to a real farmer, he's named all his cattle. He's named all his sheep. It's much more of a personal, intimate thing. And so much more intimately and personally are we of value to God. So the God who sees me. So to close with the final illustration, this is a real photograph. It looks like an art mock-up, but you can see all those umbrellas. It was an art installation in a city in Portugal. And I try to, because it's going to tie in with where I'm going now. And I think I've left my props. Bear with me. Got four umbrellas. And really, I'm going to ask four volunteers. I'm going to have one. Pete's going to have. We need two more umbrella holders. Go on, Emily. Thank you. Do you want to come and get it? And what we're going to do is, I don't need anybody that's superstitious, because we're going to open the umbrellas indoors, okay? I know. Let's just get that over with. Yeah. So if we can position ourselves in four cups, and in some respects, what we've talked about, the Lord who provides, the Lord who heals, the Lord who sees me. If you want to just gravitate towards an umbrella as they go up, and it might be that you don't want to do this, so please don't feel obliged. But if you just want to gather around, we're going to pray around some of the things we've talked about this morning. So where do you need a real provision from God? Do you need a touch from God physically, spiritually, or emotionally? And you just need to be reassured that God really does see you where you're at right now. And that's all we're going to do. So these umbrellas are going to be like that canopy coming under God's protection, coming into that place of prayer. You know, a bit like the tent of meeting, yeah? So is that all right? So I'm going to get the other two tents up, umbrellas. Please join me under an umbrella for a time of prayer. Never heard that phrase. Yeah, just as we finish off now and prepare for lunch, you know, I know that there's a group, that are connected into the journey and the heart of the journey in small groups. So even if you've not felt able, don't think you've missed an opportunity, you know, connecting with your small group leaders, and take time to continue to pray. And I'm around at lunchtime, so if you want me to pray for you, I'd be more than happy. There are other people here that would be happy to pray for you. So even if you've not felt able to share in a group, you know, God's bigger than that. So let's not leave today without having taken that opportunity to have been prayed for and been encouraged. Nothing worse than walking out of the door thinking, you know, I wish that I just... Yeah, let's not do that to ourselves. Don't do that to yourself today. This is a day of opportunity. It's not the final day of opportunity, but it's a day particularly where you can walk from here encouraged in your circumstance and your situation, and perhaps just facing God and seeing Him. Amen. Thank you.